Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
We begin the week with the political junkie, and Ken, we were all about the hurricane on Monday, so I really appreciate you switching our chat to Thursday morning. So welcome. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I kind of think that there were priorities, and I think politics definitely takes second to the horror we've seen in Houston and that area.
As you, I think as you note, though, here, Vice President Pence is headed to Texas today, and President Trump has been there and is headed back Saturday, and they have to be careful that these visits, you know, don't look too political, but look like they're getting briefings and they're providing comfort. How have they done so far?
Well, I think there has been some focus on silly things like the heels that Melania Trump was wearing and Donald Trump gushing about the crowd size. And I think that's peripheral and kind of silly. I mean, that is vintage Trump, and we shouldn't be focusing on that. But I think they are very aware of the optics of what President Bush went through with Katrina back in 2005. So I think in that sense, both FEMA and the president have done, I think, a good job. I mean, I don't know how you can do a good job in such unimaginable horror that's going there, and God knows how many bodies will be found in the next couple of days, weeks, and months, and it's just the thought of it is just horrifying. But the job the government has done, I mean, there's still some questions whether there should have been a mandatory evacuation before the storm hit, and we saw that with Katrina as well, but they're aware of what happened with Bush and Katrina, and I think they're doing the best they can to avoid the same kind of comparisons.
I wonder what you think of this, Ken. I was reading one analyst who was saying that the Bush administration had some very disaster inexperienced people at the top of FEMA when Katrina struck, and that the Trump administration has not made the same mistake. People in FEMA know what they're doing.
I think there's truth to that. I think that a lot of the veterans of Katrina and FEMA back in the Bush days are part of FEMA in this administration, and that is good. They witnessed the horror of Katrina, and they're using their experience to help with Harvey. But at the same time, the Trump budget, we must point out, the Trump budget includes tremendous cuts in the FEMA budget.
Exactly.
And again, exactly. We see how the priorities of making decisions like that are so often off kilter.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you whether you think that's going to change some of these. I mean, we're going to talk about the National Flood Insurance Program. That's also up for some really deep cuts. Do you think adjustments will be made now that we've experienced Houston and the president has seen this firsthand?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's like saying, has the president changed his mind about climate change, given the fact that 50 plus inches have hit over, you know, Houston in just a couple of days. So my gut tells me no. And, you know, we're seeing the kind of things that we wish we didn't see. And I'm thinking of the Texas legislators, the Texas members of Congress who voted against a relief aid for Hurricane Sandy when that hit in 2012 in New York and New Jersey. The Republicans, like Ted Cruz, said, well, you know, it's a lot of extraneous stuff in the bill. I'm voting no. And yet these same Texas lawmakers will go to Washington now and say, look, we need as much as we can for Houston and Beaumont and Galveston and things like that. And they do. But it's just sad to see that sometimes they play politics and the hypocrisy comes back to bite them.
You know, let me talk to you about that bill, that Sandy bill, because it is true. Don't they call those bills Christmas tree bills where legislators hang a lot of different stuff on the bill? Isn't it true that that Sandy relief bill, as you've said, had a lot of stuff that really didn't pertain to Sandy relief?
Well, that's what Ted Cruz has been arguing. That's what John Cornyn, the other Republican senator from Texas, has been arguing. But there's a report in the New York Times today that talks about that. A lot of that Republican claim, the Texas Republican claim, is hyperbole, that much of it went on not only for Hurricane Sandy, but future protection for such events, you know, that would come up in the future. So it didn't all have to do with Hurricane Sandy only. There was some extraneous stuff, but to say that they voted against it because it was overwhelmingly extraneous money, that is just not a true statement. And Peter King, the congressman from New York, and Chris Christie both say that Ted Cruz is lying.
So is the assumption then that back when Ted Cruz and Cornyn voted against Sandy Aid, they just, didn't want to be seen providing assistance to people in a different part of the country that might have a different political leaning?
Well, that's the assumption of a lot of people. I guess, to be honest with you, the fact that I'm mentioning it, maybe that's my thought as well. But the fact is that so many, I think there was only one Republican member of Congress from Texas out of the whole legislation. Everybody else voted against it. And it's just, you know, why you vote against it for other states. But certainly when it happens to you, you say, oh, my goodness, we need this more than ever. So I just think that, you know, I mean, back then they were saying, well, we're not going to vote for it unless there's corresponding cuts in spending. Right now, nobody's talking about that with the aid, with the upcoming aid to Texas. And we have no idea how much money they need.
Ken Rudin is with us if you've just tuned in. Yes, a little unusually on a Thursday morning. But if you have questions about the president's agenda, Congress coming back to Washington shortly, Ken's new additions to his button collection. We'll take your calls and your tweets. Yeah, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at @CarrieNPR. Ken, interesting timing here where this federal judge in San Antonio has stayed this Texas law that would ban sanctuary cities. What happens next with this?
Well, I would guess, I mean, basically there are further appeals that could be made and certainly to the Supreme Court. But Texas seems to be on a lot of things that Texas is trying to do with a very conservative governor, a very conservative lieutenant governor. And of course, Texas, the lieutenant governor is more powerful than the governor. But the legislature also has been pushing for not only removal of aid for sanctuary cities, but restrictions on voting rights and things like that, and redistricting. And it seems like federal courts, federal judges have been turning them down left and right, or should I say, well, left and right, I guess is the right way to say it.
Yeah.
But the fact is, all these things that they're trying to push is just being stopped by the courts. And I think that what they're trying to do or talking about doing is maybe the only thing they can do is maybe appeal to a higher authority. And if God is not listening, then maybe the Supreme Court is the answer.
I'm really glad you mentioned that redistricting case, because we're going to do a show on what's happening. Wisconsin's redistricting case is going to be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court, and Texas.
That's the big one.
Right. But Texas has got this trial going on, right, with this three-judge panel trying to determine whether when Texas redrew congressional districts, they basically used such a partisan standard to redraw them that they were disenfranchising voters of color.
Well, you just raised two important points there, and there's two important questions. Partisan redistricting has been going on for as long as there's been Congress, and there's been redistricting. I mean, if you think of the Democrats for the 1970s and 1980s, when they seemed to control all the state legislatures, it was the Democrats who really redrew the lines and tortured the Republicans. Republicans have taken this tactic and this talent to a higher level, and now they are just redrawing things. I mean, if you think of like places like North Carolina, where I think more voters voted for Democrats for Congress in 2014 and 2016. But I think there's like a 11-3 difference in members of Congress because of the way the lines are drawn. So if you do it for partisan purposes, that's what the Supreme Court will decide when it takes up the Wisconsin case. But if you're doing it for if there's a racial component there, if you're doing it to punish African-Americans, Latinos, people like that, then that is unconstitutional. And I think that's where the judges will draw the line. But as far as partisan redistricting, that's a kind of an iffy question. And that's why all eyes are on the court when they take up the Wisconsin case in the fall.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow. A question for you here, Ken, from Bob in St. Paul. Hey, Bob. Hi.
Hey, thanks. Just a quick one, Ken. Who do you think is going to be the next major figure in the White House or the administration to either be forced out or resign?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I was just looking at a picture. There's a great picture the other day shown around on Facebook where President Trump is on the phone with Vladimir Putin and the vice president is sitting by around, and everybody around the vice president, Sean Spicer, Paul Manafort, Steve Bannon, and Michael Flynn, they're all gone. So a lot of the key guys are gone. Gorka just left the other day. Now, the question is, who is left? I mean, unless he brings in Joe Arpaio as somebody, because he, you know, because Joe Arpaio is doing a great job. You know, that's a good question. And I think what's really interesting is what's going on between Robert Mueller and the state attorney general of New York on the Paul Manafort.
I know. What do you make of this?
Well, because obviously a lot of people are saying that one of the signals that President Trump gave with the pardon of Joe Arpaio is that, look, I know you want to negotiate something with Robert Mueller, but you don't do that because whatever happens, I will pardon you. If Robert Mueller, on the other hand, works with state attorneys general like Eric Schneiderman of New York, then maybe Manafort could be brought up on state charges. And if that's the case, a presidential pardon wouldn't affect somebody convicted of state crimes. And there are states like New York, Illinois, Virginia, others that are looking at their alleged Russian collusion with state charges. So, look, you know, for all the people saying all the stuff that Trump is doing is a distraction, Robert Mueller, I guarantee, is not being distracted.
Exactly.
And he's just watching what's going on very closely.
I read that story as well, and I was thinking, if you're trying to out, you know, master Robert Mueller, it's pretty difficult to do.
I agree completely. And not only that, I mean, people say, well, even if he pardons everybody, look, if he pardons everybody who's either indicted or under investigation by Mueller, then I think the I word, the impeachment word, will become more prevalent in Congress. Right now, very, very few members of Congress are talking about it. They'd rather not talk about it. But of course, the numbers in the polls seem to be increasing for that option. Some 41% are talking about an impeachment, which is, given the fact that he's been in office 6, 7 months, 8 months, that's pretty remarkable. So let's just see what he does, what the president does, and what Robert Mueller finds. But again, you know, Mueller, you know, remember from between the break-in in Watergate in June of 72 and the resignation in August of 74, that was 2 years. So
Ken,
for those who were impatient, there's a lot
Ken,
to do.
Ken, I don't think we get through a conversation without mentioning Nixon somehow. Nixon.
I love Richard Nixon. We don't have
I
enough
know.
Nixon.
I know.
I don't have, I refuse to let him being kicked around anymore.
Oh, my gosh. What's the best Nixon button you have in your collection?
Well, some of them are my favorite one, actually. It doesn't say Nixon, but when he was running for governor in 1962 in California, there's a button. It just says IS in the middle of the button, IS. Mm-hmm. The top of the button is the color brown. The bottom color is the color pink. And with the IS in the middle, and if you look at it, you say, what does that mean? It basically means brown is pink. Governor Brown is a pinko. And it was a
really?
Richard Nixon button from 62. Yeah, what, it's a great button.
I mean, so IS is the word is, and it's brown
is
pink.
Pink.
Wow. What's that worth?
It.
What's that little button worth these
you
days?
You know something? I do it for the joy
of
collecting money.
Oh, yes, yes,
money
yes.
Mean,
what's it
money
worth?
Mean anything
yes,
to me.
All noted. What's it worth? What's something like that worth? That's got to be pretty rare.
Well, look, there's a guy named Jerry Voorhees, who was a congressman from California, who Nixon defeated in 1946. During Watergate, I wrote to him and asked him if he had any buttons, and he sent me Voorhees for Congress buttons. For somebody who has no idea who he is, it's probably worthless. For somebody who loves the history of politics, as I do, I mean, to me, it's priceless. So, but I think a brown is pink. I mean, it could be $25, $50, but again, you know, to each his or her own.
So it's not a
wait. You know, I do have a Kerry Miller button from 2008. You know that, right?
I do know that. It's yeah, not worth a break in at the Rudin home to get your button collection. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you can, but you know, I live in Minnesota now, so you can just look me up. I live in St. Paul, and I'm at I live in Kerry Miller's house. So
yeah, did anybody know this? Ken lives in my basement. I think it's time we tell everybody that.
Well, It's an undisclosed location.
Oh, my gosh, Ken. Okay, so I'm going to be away next Monday, but I'll catch you on the backside of a week's vacation, okay? Looking forward to it.
Have a great vacation.
Thank you. Ken Rudin with us, the political junkie. Usually on Mondays, we were doing hurricane coverage, so talking with Ken about the week's news in politics.